In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. One time I mentioned to someone about how our Easter service begins on late Saturday night. And we wind up celebrating the resurrection on the first day of the week very early in the morning. And that's the reason when we do that. And they ask, how was our attendance for such a late or early morning service? And I explain that in the Orthodox Church that Pascha service is celebrated even more highly than Christmas. And I describe further that if you think about it, although the birth of Christ is very important, obviously, if he is not raised from the dead, it was for naught. St. Paul, in his first epistle to the Corinthians, writes, if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation has been in vain, and your faith has been in vain. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you're still in your sins. You know, during Holy Week, we followed the last days of Christ as he submitted himself to those who sought him out to be put to death. We heard the false trial, the scourging, his crucifixion upon the cross. But it didn't end there. The week culminated in the celebration of the resurrection of Christ. Well, this Sunday is Thomas Sunday. And some might say today's gospel reading is about doubt. And to a certain extent, it is. But I also prefer to believe that it is about belief. And it's belief about one of the most important events ever. Because today's gospel is an important testimony to the great truth that Christ is risen. Now, doubt is something that we all may encounter at times in various forms. And especially when the times are difficult. That's when doubts creep in. And the same thing happened with the apostles, the disciples. And it's interesting that the phrase doubting Thomas has become common due to the events that we read about in today's gospel. However, you know, I find myself being more of a champion of Thomas, not thinking so much about him as doubting Thomas as believing Thomas. During the reading of the gospel on Lazarus Saturday, I was particularly struck by something that one of the disciples said. Jesus had learned that his close friend Lazarus was sick. And after two more days, he told his disciples, let us go to Judea again. Now the disciples responded, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and you're going there again? And he went on to explain, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. And then to clarify what he meant by this, he further clearly says, Lazarus is dead. And then he said, nevertheless, let us go to him. Realizing that Christ was determined to go in spite of the danger, at that point, one of the disciples spoke up and said, let us also go that we may die with him. This disciple spoke boldly of going with Jesus, even though it could mean certain death. Now I ask you, who was the disciple that said this? Who was the disciple that said, let us go also go that we may die with him? It was Thomas. That was Thomas who said that, willing to die with his Lord. Perhaps he did have doubts about the resurrection, but he had been willing to go with Christ to the ultimate end. Thomas' doubts and then subsequent belief are in fact very important to us today. As we look at the other Gospels, we find there was initial doubt about the resurrection, and it wasn't limited to just Thomas. As we know, in the midst of the taking of Jesus, what did Peter do? He denied Christ three times. He struggled. After Christ's crucifixion and burial, on the third day, the disciples heard reports from the women that Christ was no longer in the grave. But they did not believe what the women told them. They doubted. But we have to remember what they were experiencing during this time. Jesus had been taken from them, treated cruelly, placed on a cross to die. His side was even pierced with a sword. When he was taken down from the cross and laid in the tomb, it was pretty clear Christ was no longer alive. Their hopes and dreams had been undone. It was smashed. In spite of what Christ had said and even talked about resurrection, today's gospel begins with apostles gathered in a small, dark house in fear of the Jews. They'd locked every window and door. The place was locked up. They were in a state of mourning. And they must have been deeply depressed, maybe confused, and afraid, to say the least. Now, if they had had no doubt that Jesus would rise from the dead, they'd be there eagerly waiting for the coming of their Lord. But instead, they were couched in darkness and in fear of their very lives. And I just can't imagine what they were thinking. Well, maybe I can imagine some. How will it be possible for this corpse of Jesus to rise again from the dead? Even though they had seen Christ raise Lazarus from the dead, here they were in shock and afraid. They knew his body had been struck and beaten. His hands and feet had been pierced with those nails and that spear stuck into his side to ensure that he was dead. And he was taken down from the cross. He was wrapped in linen and placed in a sealed tomb. That's what they were contemplating. The gospel reading of today tells us, then the same day of the evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. What happened? Jesus came and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." And what would your first thoughts have been had you been one of them? Confusion, fear, doubt, what you're seeing? No wonder his first words were, "Peace be unto you." Reading on, we hear, when he said this, he showed him his hands. He showed him his side. And it was at this point, the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. They knew it was him. They saw the risen Christ. They saw those nail prints and his side where he had been pierced. They knew it was him. And they really knew that he was alive from the dead. And he says to them again, "Peace be unto you." Continuing to grant them peace and grace. It was then that he began to commission them. And this was the beginning of the great apostolic mission to the world. "As the Father sent me," he told them, "I also send you." Then Jesus told his apostles, "Receive the Holy Spirit." However, where was Thomas this day? The other apostle, when all this was happening? We really don't know why Thomas was not there that day. But it was truly for our sakes that he wasn't there. We do know that later, as soon as the disciples saw Thomas, they cried out, "We have seen the Lord." Nevertheless, he was not so easily convinced. He might have even thought, perhaps this is illusion. Perhaps this is some sort of trickery. He may have even remembered the words of the Master when Jesus said, "If anyone comes to you and say, 'Look, here is the Christ,' or 'There he is,' do not believe it, for false Christ and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive." And he was doubting. He was not sure. So then he said to his fellow disciples, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and his hand in his side, I will not believe." Did he doubt? Yes. Yes, he did. Thomas did not wish to believe until he had real proof that it really was Jesus. In Vespers last night, we heard chanted over and over how important Thomas's questioning is to us. Now, why is that? Within 8 days after his first appearance, Jesus appears again to the disciples, just like he did before when Thomas was absent. But this time, Thomas was there. And again, although the doors were shut, there was no possibility of entry, Jesus appears to them again, and he stands among them. And again, what does he say? Peace be with you. And then he turns to Thomas and says, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe. And what was Thomas's response? As he examined his hands, as he examined the place where his side was pierced, as Thomas answered with amazing assurance and conviction, without a trace of doubt, my Lord and my God. It's a great testimony to us today, coming from one who was doubting. And then after seeing, he believed. The fact that he would not believe until he had seen the risen Lord means that he would not be swayed just by talk or wishful thinking. The fact that he did believe means that he did see Christ risen from the dead. He did see those nail prints. He saw where that sword had been stuck into the side of Jesus and pierced his side. And then he was no longer doubting Thomas. He was believing Thomas, with no doubt at all that Jesus was there before him, risen from the dead. And Jesus goes on to say, you believe because you've seen me. Blessed are those who've not yet seen and yet have come to believe. So truly, we're blessed. If we have not seen, yet we believe. Now during Holy Week, we get a chance to get a glimpse for ourselves and in a measure personally experience the crucifixion, his death, his burial, and yes, his resurrection. And we gather together, along with all Orthodox Christians everywhere, throughout the world, on that night and early morning, and cry out and proclaim every Pascha, Christ is risen. Truly, he is risen. So as we read the Gospels, we find this initial skepticism of the apostles, not just Thomas, but all the apostles, as they even doubted what the women had said, but especially that of Thomas. And this is not necessarily bad in the sense it's very beneficial to us. It's vital to us to know that they doubted until they had absolute proof before them. Sound discretion, good judgment are essential for spiritual matters. And the resurrection event of our Lord is no exception. What is it that changed every one of them that had their doubts? They were changed when they encountered the risen Lord. They saw his hands and his side. And it turned their lives into something new and very powerful. Yes, you hear the phrase, doubting Thomas. But we know Thomas was willing to go and die with our Lord just a couple of weeks earlier. And ultimately we know Thomas is the one who saw him and believed with all his heart. If you have times of doubt yourself, and we all do, we all have our struggles. Remember all the disciples, but remember especially Thomas. But then be believing also as Thomas. They proclaimed the truth, what they saw with their eyes, what they reached out and they felt and they touched. And they proclaimed the truth, what they had experienced. They met the resurrected Lord face to face. He announced it to us so that we who haven't seen may believe. Because we too have come to believe. And we too know Christ is risen. Truly, he is risen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.